Hello and welcome to That Sports Gamer Show, episode number 78 for November 29th, 2013, Black Friday. As always, I'm your host, TJ Lauerman, and alongside me is the man who does not pop Molly or rock Tom Ford, Rich Grisham.
Well, hello. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, whatever that means.
All right. And also, the man who celebrated Thanksgiving almost a month ago, Greg Seward. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
How are you?
Back when God intended Thanksgiving to happen.
Now, I was wondering, do Americans that move to Canada celebrate two Thanksgivings?
I do not know.
You need to make some more American friends in Canada.
I have American friends in Canada. I don't know what they do, though, but they're all like young single guys. So I don't know that they even celebrate Thanksgiving unless someone else invites them.
You know? If they're young Americans in Canada, that means they probably ran from their families anyway. So they're probably enjoying the break.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was starting to wonder if Americans that moved to Canada celebrate two Independence Days. And then I realized that Canada never got away from Britain.
No.
So I guess you don't.
Surprisingly worked out pretty well for us, though. So,
yeah,
it's not that bad up here.
Yeah, that Tom. What's that guy's name? Who's that crazy guy?
Tom Cruise?
Tom Moranis?
No, the guy that does lots of coke.
Oh, the Toronto mayor?
Rob Ford. There we go.
Yeah.
That guy's crazy.
That's kind of an embarrassment.
Well, let's face it. America's had a couple of embarrassments here and there with people and politicians, probably.
Speaking of that crazy guy, when is the Grey Cup? Should be coming up soon, right?
It was last weekend.
Oh, hey, go Argonauts or Rough Riders, I assume was the matchup.
I don't even know who won.
Who played?
The Argonauts and the Rough Riders.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Was it really?
I think so. I don't know.
I literally just made that up.
No, it wasn't the Argonauts. It was the Ticats and the Rough Riders.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Yes.
And the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Oh, so the Argonauts were in the playoffs but lost, right? I assume that's what they
meant. I think everybody's in the playoffs. We only have like six teams.
What kind
of? In the whole league.
Well, that's Canada for you. But it looks like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders did win.
There you go. 45-23.
There you go.
Okay. You get 20 and then a field goal, I guess. Makes sense. These are some high-scoring games. But yeah, football and Thanksgiving, two things that go together.
You should watch Canadian football sometime. It's an experience.
Is the field wider or narrower?
It's wider. The field's wider. It's longer, I believe. And the uprights are in the beginning of the end zone.
So guys can crash into it.
And you only get three downs.
Now, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I was with you the whole way until three downs.
I was I worked on a couple of the Maddens, and the first Madden I ever worked on was 12. And it just so happened that there was the designer that I was working with at Tiburon sent an email to me one morning just titled, "What are you doing to our game?" with a link to a video. And I forget what the two teams that were playing were, but it was one team attempting a field goal, and they missed, and the ball was caught by the opposing team, or the defending team, in the end zone, at which point he punted it back out, and it was caught by the offensive team, and they ran it in for a touchdown.
Wait.
And that was all legal.
You can just do that?
Yeah.
What happened?
I'm telling you,
I have many questions about
that. It's worth your while. Just look up the rules for Canadian football and watch some videos. If nothing else, it's different.
Is it more rugby than?
I honestly don't have the knowledge. I'm guessing it probably is a little closer to rugby, but I don't know.
A long, 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 long time ago, when the NFL went on one of its many strikes in the 80s to satiate a public that was thirsty for football, they on NBC, I think they put Canadian football games on.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a traumatic experience for a young Rich Grisham who really just desperately missed the NFL and had no idea what was actually happening.
There were, I want to say there were some American expansion teams at one point.
Well, yeah, there was a whole thing where a team in Baltimore and San Antonio and a few other teams got franchises, and Baltimore even won the league, won the
That's
Grey
right.
Cup once, and
what?
Then they kicked all the American teams out of the CFL.
Yeah.
I do know too much about sports.
You do know a lot about that stuff, yeah. I mean, last weekend was the 101st Grey Cup.
Yeah, that's a lot of great cups.
Going a while.
The Baltimore Stallions won the 1995 Grey Cup.
See, look, you're learning so much tonight, TJ.
Look, let's just remember that when Americans need more football, we get things like the XFL. So,
briefly.
Look, that was a really good idea if everybody didn't get hurt on the first play.
Yeah, that league would not have lasted much longer these days than it did back then, nor the UFL, which is also another defunct.
You also have the lingerie league?
Oh, yes. It's not even called that anymore, right? They tried to give it some classy name.
Oh, they tried to give it some classy name, but they're still wearing underwear.
Yeah, it's now called, I feel it's like the Champions League, the Legends Football League.
I can't believe that it's even a thing. I honestly, like, it just boggles my mind that that's even a thing.
Yeah, LFL. 14 teams in the United States, 4 in Canada, and 4 in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. I believe a friend of the show, Chairman Seven, tried to become an official, or may be an official, for...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound something like...
I mean, I'm not saying I'm against it, but I'm just saying it blows my mind that it's like a legitimate thing and not like a Budweiser commercial.
Look, you know, right. Like, Rich, you need to go to a Philadelphia Passion game.
In Philadelphia Park. Passion?
Yeah.
I do not.
In PPL Park. Make it a family day.
PPL Park. Wait, is that where the Philadelphia Union plays? The soccer team?
Is it
MLS team? Yeah, that's where they
play. Yeah, the MLS teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
They play their home games. What is this? Yeah, 2013. They moved in. They were playing. Go ahead.
Speaking of, you live in Pennsylvania, Rich?
I live in New Jersey, but okay. I work in Pennsylvania.
Ah, okay.
Stone's throw away.
Because you bring up Philadelphia, which obviously means I have to start talking about Pittsburgh and their amazing comeback the other night.
Yeah.
I hope you watched that because
it blew up. No, I was not watching it, but my Twitter feed blew up last night as it was happening.
The Penguins could have played without a goalie.
I thought we were talking about the Steelers.
Beginning of the third period to the end of the overtime, and they still would have won the game.
Amazing.
There was not a shot recorded by the Maple Leafs.
Reminds me of
4 seconds at the end of the second period.
That's one time when the Leafs and the Devils were in the playoffs. The Devils kept the Leafs. The Leafs didn't have a shot and a goal from like the middle of the second period to the end of the game.
That was probably the last time they recorded a third period without a shot because it was. I think it had been like 11 years since the last time it happened.
And that was a playoff game too.
God, like what a! They were up 4-1 at the beginning of the second period. They lost 6-5.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. I thought you were talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think the Devils had a power play tonight where the puck never left the opponent's area.
Devils are not good.
But Brodeur is good again, isn't he?
That's what
he's just back. Good again. The problem is the Devils don't have anybody who can score, and that's a problem in this you know, our current generation's NHL. You know, back in the 80s, everybody could score. Then in the 90s, nobody could score. And right now, it's kind of a scoring league, and the Devils can't score.
It's just back in the 80s, your scorers were all protected by boxers.
Yeah. Right. That is
on
correct.
Skates. And they don't do that anymore.
No. No.
Which is that why Crosby spent so much time injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you've not seen the movie Goon, definitely go watch it.
Filmed in Halifax.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think it was filmed. I don't know if it was filmed.
I think it actually...
It was actually based in it. Wasn't it the team he was on was based in Halifax?
Yeah, he moved up to play for Halifax, I believe. Liev Schreiber, great
They did
actor.
Film in Halifax, yeah.
Yeah. You should... what is the team up there?
The actual team is the Mooseheads.
They're Halifax in the game, right?
Yeah, they're in the game. They're the first team you beat with your stupid fantasy league team, Jerkstar.
Oh, thanks.
Are they sponsored by Moosehead Beer, or is that merely a coincidence?
No, I think they have a stake in the team.
Okay.
Their logo is a Moosehead Beer logo, basically.
Well, then I certainly hope they do.
Yeah. So it's QMJHL, so Major Junior.
That is a rough and tumble league.
Well, it's not like Goon.
Why not? Can it be more like Goon? I'd be really into it then.
Yeah.
Speaking of Moose... There's a bagel store opened up by my work called, like, Wally World Bagels. And I was, like, named after Wally World from the movie. They're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, does it have a goose for a logo? They're like, yes. I was like, this guy definitely just jacked the name out of this movie. It's
pretty awesome.
So two movies to go watch, Goon and National Lampoon's Just Vacation. Is that what the first one's called?
If you haven't seen National Lampoon's Vacation, stop what you're doing and go watch it now. It's a classic.
And then Vegas Vacation, because that's also hilarious. Yep.
Vegas Vacation? Really?
Nope. Yep. The only one to watch is Vacation, maybe European Vacation.
You're not gonna give Christmas Vacation any love?
No, I'm not.
Well, I think we should just give it to the full series.
Christmas Vacation was great.
Not a fan.
I don't know. I'm gonna say Vegas Vacation squirrel? Is probably the highest rated one.
What? I don't even think I've seen Vegas Vacation in its entirety.
No, someone nobody, no self-respecting moviegoer has seen Vegas Vacation.
There you go.
I don't know about that there. Christmas Vacation did get a 7.4 as opposed to the 5.7 that Vegas Vacation has.
Yeah, because Vegas Vacation was terrible. I've never seen it. I'm just guessing.
I don't know. I think you guys are really missing out on something here.
You want to talk about movies that you have to see. You got to see Slapshot.
Oh,
except
yes.
Like, prepare to be a little offended by it, but because wow, it's amazing what sort of homophobic slurs passed for okay back in the day. But
but
otherwise, really good movie.
Not to mention the extended topless scene with the mom from A Christmas Story that really throws you for a loop.
Also,
that wasn't her. That wasn't the mom from Christmas Story. It looked like her. You know who that was? That was Steven Spielberg's wife.
Really?
Yeah, she's the one from not Raiders of the Lost Ark, the second one, Temple of Doom. She's the one from Temple of Doom.
Shows you how long it's been since I've seen.
Now I have to look it up. I'm
Wait,
pretty
Steven
sure.
Spielberg hired Metric?
IMDb. This is the greatest. This is the greatest podcast ever.
I thought we were supposed to talk about the Xbox One, but are we talking about like Kate Capshaw?
Kate Capshaw
is married to Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking George Lucas. That guy's horrendous to look at. My bad.
Kate Capshaw is not the mom from A Christmas Story?
No, she just looks like her.
Oh. Okay, well then I feel a lot better about everything.
Kate Capshaw is the one that ate the monkey brains, I believe.
Yes.
Huh.
And I'm pretty sure she was the lady in Slapshot. Although now that I'm looking her up, it doesn't look like it was her. What in the hell? Now I'm upset.
I'm pretty sure it was the mom from A Christmas Story. Pretty sure.
She was also in Space Camp. If you haven't seen Space Camp, also.
I remember being very disturbed and surprised by that because, you know, Christmas Story Mom is not supposed to do that.
Then Melinda don't watch what's the movie with Freddie Prinze Jr. playing baseball in the Cape Cod League?
No idea.
Oh, it's such a good movie. Summer Catch.
God damn it, Rich. I think you're right.
In Summer Catch, it's a little bit crazier with her.
You're right. It was her. Huh. It was the mom from Christmas Story. One of my other favorite movies, although now I'm not sure I can watch it again.
That Christmas Story just stays good every time.
It does.
Isn't like Julia Louis-Dreyfus in it for a bit?
No, you're thinking of Christmas Vacation now. This is unbelievable.
Hold on, wait, Christmas Story?
Christmas Story with Ralphie.
Oh, right.
Wants the BB gun?
I did not see the sequel.
Jeez.
I believe that just came out last year. Who the hell was I thinking then?
You want some more trivia? The dude who gets his tongue stuck on the metal pole in A Christmas Story went on to be a big porn star.
What?
Absolutely.
I was going to be way more excited if you're like, the dude that got his tongue stuck to the pole is Phil Theobald. I'd have been like, what? I might have lost it then.
Well, Theobald did go on to become a major porn star.
A major porn star, yeah.
And Special Keezy just renamed the show that 30-year-old movie conversation guy show.
Well, first off, is anybody in their 30s here?
I am.
Yeah.
All right. I'm 29, so technically.
Rich is like 50, right?
Yeah, 54, 55, give or take a couple of years.
My wife said something to me today. I'm like, I'm in my 20s. You're in your 30s.
Yeah. My wife's 2 weeks older than me. And when she turned 30, she heard about it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about video games.
Yeah, I guess
Let's do it.
So, hey, guys. How is the Xbox One? Rich Grisham.
It is not being used too close to its full capacity at my house, although today I did start thinking about actually taking the Kinect out of the box and plugging it.
Rich, if you don't have the Kinect out, I cannot turn off your Xbox remote. So if you could do that, I would appreciate it.
Because today I just set up a new TV, and I rearranged my office some more, and that thing is just sitting there in the box saying, come on, just plug me in. What's the worst thing that could happen?
Well, it's pretty heavy, so...
You enter a whole new world of entertainment.
Yeah. A whole new generation, Rich.
My office, though, is really kind of small. And everything I've heard is that for anything other than voice commands, like if you actually want to use it to like sort of interact with on like Skype or, you know, playing those fitness games or whatever, you really need some space.
And well, I mean, the fitness game, you're going to need space anyway.
Yeah.
Skype, I don't think you do. It's got a really wide range on it, actually. So I bet you Skype will work pretty well for you.
And I also was sort of halfway debating because I can't remember what show I was listening to. It might have been Weekend Confirmed today.
I haven't listened to it yet. No spoilers.
Well, they were just a couple of guys that were on this week's show were really saying how good they like the integration of the TV and sort of the snapping and being able to have like a football game on, but also be playing a game. I'm like, I don't think so, but maybe. And I mean, probably should try it at least, right? Like, you know, I should try it.
Get yourself a point of reference.
Well, that's talking about that Pittsburgh game I watched the other night. That's how I watched it. I'm a hockey fan, but I don't generally tune into too many regular season games just because there's way too many of them. Mm-hmm. But they were playing and it's like, oh, I'm going to try the snapping feature. And, that's what I did. I snapped live TV and I was playing Forza and, it was great. And then whenever anything interesting was about to happen, I switched over to the snapped television, made it go full screen, watched it for a while and then went back to Forza and it was awesome. The only thing I wish I could have done was control the volume a little bit better. But honestly, in a game like Forza, it's not killing you if you don't hear it all the time.
But does it really, like, can you still see enough of both? Because, like, even when I stream on
the PS4. I can see and hear enough to know when something interesting was happening.
Because, like, even when I stream on the PS4 using the PS4, you know, the native application for it, and the screen gets a little smaller, I kind of don't like that. So I don't know. I got to try it, though.
But that's because you're on, like, a 37-inch screen.
Well, before today I was.
That's what I'm saying, Rich.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, but even when you're streaming, I've talked to the people in the stream. They say they're not as big a fan of the smaller screen when you stream.
That's totally legit. But, that's honestly... I loved it because what would happen otherwise, which I've done up until this point, is, you know, if there's something on that I'm interested in, but I'm not 100% interested in it, I would be flipping the input or changing the channel or, you know, pausing my game and going to check and see. And half the time I do that, I'd be a freaking commercial or something on. Right. So, I really loved being able to have it just running beside it.
Does your TV not have picture in picture?
No. Because for some reason that seems to be something you still pay a premium for.
Is it?
I don't know why.
I don't even think mine does.
It doesn't seem like a common feature.
Interesting. Maybe it's to the cable boxes now?
There's no picture-in-picture option on mine, and I just got it today. So.
Yeah.
You know what? It might be built into the cable box, not into the picture to the TV anymore. That could be a thing.
But if it's built into the cable box, then all you're getting is picture-in-picture of cable. Right?
Possibly.
So
good point.
So, I mean, I don't know. To me, it was great because, like I said, the only thing that I wish you could do is right now you can't independently control the volume. So, and, you know, Microsoft claims that, well, it mixes based on whatever is the active window. Man, it doesn't. Yeah. So, you know, like really the sound of the game was overwhelming the sound. The sound of the game. The sound of the hockey game was overwhelming the sound of the video game. Mm. But I didn't mind because, like I say, I didn't really need to hear the video game so much. And when I was watching the game, at one point, Pittsburgh went on a 5-3. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I have to watch this. So I paused my game and I flipped over to the Snapped app and I made it full screen and I watched for the entire power play. And then I went back to the setup I had. It was great. It worked exactly the way it was supposed to work, and I was really happy with it.
And all you need to do is just HDMI out your cable box into your Xbox One, right? Like, it's as simple as that?
It's as simple as that.
I
might even have an extra HDMI cable, because good Lord, do I have a lot of HDMI cables right now.
Yeah, I just had to borrow two more from my brother-in-law.
I've got a Wii U HDMI, a PS4, a Xbox One, and a cable box. And those go into a HDMI splitter, which has another HDMI into the television and into the computer that doesn't stream very
well. That's TJ's fault.
Well, that is true.
I didn't do nothing. I take no blame. I just got more cables so I can go into a switcher to start. And I only have two things, but I'm lazy.
Now, with the switcher, do you still have to go over to the switcher and literally, like, flip a switch? Or is it, like, remote control digitally where you say, go to this, go to that, go to the other thing?
Depends on which one you get.
Yeah. Okay.
Most of them have a remote, though. Yeah. But, you know, that's just one more remote to lose, so.
Yeah. I got, like, four of them sitting on my desk right here.
The other thing, apparently, they said last week that the One is also supports the Logitech Harmony remotes.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you know, essentially you could hook everything to one of those if you have one, and that would sort of be your secondary input.
But you can't switch inputs with the thing, right?
With the Xbox?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, we were talking about before. I don't remember. But I was listening to, what was it, Rebel FM last week? And I think they actually had Anthony Gallegos. Yes, I think it's his name. They had him streaming Skype into the Xbox One that they used for the show.
Nice.
Which seems a little convoluted because you probably just do it on a computer, but
probably.
It worked. Except every time they said Xbox, it was like, hey, what do you want to do?
Wario64 tweeted a link to something yesterday that I watched for a few minutes and was funny when it was a link to the Giant Bomb guys doing a live show via Xbox and Skype, and the whole thing got, like, sucked into this vortex of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. And I'm not a Giant Bomb fan, but it was just funny. Really funny 15 minutes.
Oh, actually, what I need one of you guys to do is, can you take your Xbox, plug it into the Elgato, and then send one of those outputs? Hold on. Let me figure this out. No, take your Xbox, plug it into the splitter.
Right.
And then one out to the Elgato.
Right.
Then the other output from the splitter, plug back into the Xbox One. I want to see what happens. Do we just get the Xbox Infinity?
That's pretty much what Giant Bomb did.
Before we talk more about the Xbox One, did you guys see the Giant Bomb quick look of Ash's Cricket 2013?
No, but I heard you talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the game was supposed to come out in February.
Bit of a fiasco.
Either February or July. And then they delayed it to, I think it came out last week. It was on Steam for like 3 days, and they took it off. And now it's canceled.
I don't get what happened there, because then 505 came out, and they basically laid all the blame at the feet of the developer. Right. Basically said, like, they just weren't capable of overcoming. Although they were a little bit more diplomatic than that. They said they just were not able to overcome the challenges presented by the Chosen Engine, I think, was the wording. Mm. But how did it come out then? I don't get, like,
it was already delayed for 6 months.
But did they just rubber stamp it and then realize later that they probably shouldn't have released it, or what? Like, because, I mean, you know, when you're working for a publisher, it's the publisher that releases the game, not the developer. Mm-hmm. So did they not QA it or something? I don't know. It's a really strange situation.
But then the other thing is, sometimes I watch Giant Bomb and I'm like, I don't think these guys know how to play sports games to start with.
No.
So it gets a little questionable.
I don't watch tons of quick looks on Giant Bomb, but every now and then you will get to that point where they just don't know how to play whatever they're trying. But I mean, it's still pretty useful because you still get to see the thing in action.
Right. Like, I think their quick look of Madden was possibly one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen in my life, because they just played in the snow and I think they hurt every single quarterback on the Jets. And then you play Madden and you realize that people get hurt really quickly. So. But back to the Xbox One. So have you guys now retired your Xbox 360, or is your 360 plugged into your One, or is that just your cable box?
I wouldn't want to plug any console into my one because I've from what I've heard, it introduces noticeable lag.
Ooh.
Input lag. When you've got television running through it, it's not as big a deal, obviously. Mm-hmm. But so I wouldn't want to do that. But no, my 360 has been retired. It's close at hand in case I want to play something on it, but it's not hooked up anymore.
Yeah, my PS3 has been put on injured reserve. But because today I got a new TV for the office, I took the TV that was in my office and moved it over into our bedroom where my wife has sort of put this little – we have sort of like a – I don't know if it's the sitting room connected to the bedroom, but long story short, she's put like a couch in there and she had a little tiny TV, so I put that in there. So I'm thinking, now, wait a second.
So it's in there burning her face off as we speak.
This would be a perfect spot to put the PS3 so that I could just plug it in and then on those occasions when I want to play it. So I'm thinking about bringing the PS3 back out of the closet and plugging it in the bedroom so that I could just sort of have it at easy reach. But the 360 still lives. I'm in the Madden 4-string league on the 360, and I have a original style 360, which has the component cables. Mm-hmm. So that's plugged in, up and running, and no reason to move it yet. I couldn't put anything else in the entertainment center, so the next device that comes out would potentially move it out. But right now, between the Wii U, the Xbox One, the PS4, the cable box, and the 360, I don't think there's anything else coming out until a Steam box that would potentially move that out.
Well, I think the some company's thing just came out, the something Piston, which was supposedly one of the first Steam boxes.
Oh, the one that they were selling as a Steam box until it came to light that it wasn't a Steam box?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did they ever say Steam Box or did everybody say Piston? And they were like, well, it sounds like Steam.
I think that they were Valve was considering using that as a Steam Box. I think they're still marketing as that because Steam Box is not the official Valve terminology, is it?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Steam OS console
right.
Or something.
Right.
So, Greg, what games did you get for the Xbox One?
Forza. Three different times.
Do I even want to know?
Didn't you listen to the Player One podcast? He pre-ordered it from Shop of the Future, and they didn't deliver it. Then he went out and bought it and physically that day. And then you also ordered the limited edition, which I think showed up yesterday.
They all showed up yesterday, yeah. I was being made fun of from the guys at work. They were laughing at me for paying retail for Forza 5 three times. And I had to correct them. I said, no. I paid retail for it twice. I paid a premium for it the third time. So what happened was...
is the game... Let's get serious. Is the game worth $220 or whatever you paid for it?
No. So what it was that the Shop of the Future up here and also Best Buy, because of the same company, generally every E3 they'll have like this pre-order deal where if you pre-order like two games from them that were shown at E3, you get $10 off each game. If you pre-order five or more, you get $20 off. So I ended up pre-ordering like $1,400 worth of games. But they're all like spread out over the next year. I still have one from 2 years ago that hasn't come out yet, Castlevania 2. So anyway, I had pre-ordered the day one edition of Forza 5 on that deal, and then they announced the LE, so I pre-ordered that from Best Buy, and I never canceled the first one because I was thinking, in case one of them doesn't show up, there's a chance the other one will show up. Mm-hmm. So then I got my Xbox One on Friday, got home, and nothing has shown up. So I went out that night and bought it because I needed something to play over the weekend, thinking, when the other ones show up, I'll take them back and I'll have paid once, but I've done that. So I traded in the one that I bought already because they're worth $40 at Best Buy until like January. And then I tried to return the Future Shop one, the day one edition today, but of course they didn't want to take it for some reason. So I got to figure out what I'm doing with that. And I'm playing the LE.
And you're loving it?
Yep. Worth every penny of the $240 I spent.
Rich Christian, what have you been playing?
My wife ever looks at the credit card bill, I'm screwed.
Yeah, you're done for.
Yeah. Luckily, I've engineered my wife out of the finances. So the problem with that is she also spends money like she doesn't have any idea about our finances. So. But considering we're both spending money like drunken sailors right now, it's probably just I don't even want to talk about it. So anyway,
the teacher would offend for himself anyway. There is no safety net. Go get a job.
Exactly. So I have three games for the Xbox One. I have Forza, I have FIFA, and I have Zoo Tycoon from this this great little company called Frontier Developments. We're based out of, I think, Halifax, if I'm correct.
Well, actually, to be fair, they're based out of Cambridge in the UK.
Okay. But
they have a Halifax office, I've heard of.
With several handsome developers, too, as well.
It's true, yeah.
So I have spent the vast majority of my time playing Forza because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
FIFA is also terrific, but everybody already knew that. I haven't noticed anything different between the PS4 version and the Xbox One version. Luckily, I got a small piece to write up about it for OXM, so that's why I have FIFA for both consoles. And Zoo Tycoon is super fun. I haven't played a whole lot of it yet because I really want to play it with my son. And Leo and I are super into Super Mario 3D World right now, so I'm kind of saving Zoo Tycoon for the inevitable drought that will be upon us relatively soon. And it's kind of why, like, just with all of the games, really, I haven't been able to spend a ton of time with any game, but that's okay because there's going to be a long period of time where there's not anything coming out. So I'm actually kind of okay with that.
That brings us to a question from friend of the show at Carl J. Ward. Are you guys worried that they will get bored of Forza before another game comes out that you'll want to play?
No, because the way that I play games like that, same with Gran Turismo, is I don't marathon those games just because I like enjoying them. So generally I'll play a couple races a night and then I'll put it down.
Yep.
And I'll go play something else. It's the same thing I'm doing with NHL 14, actually. I'll play like a game a night and then I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
So Forza, I mean, I don't know how extensive the content is in Forza. It seems actually a little bit sparse compared to the previous games, but it'll last me 6 or 7 months.
But Craig, there's only 200 cars and there's only so many tracks.
There's only 13 or 14 tracks. That kind of sucks. But no, it'll last me a long time. And then between that and Gran Turismo 6, like, you know, I'll be splitting time between those two games. So
I might have to get Gran Turismo 6.
I know. You know, Greg's going to make me get it, too, and I'm feeling really bad about it.
Come play in our league. Player One Podcast runs a league.
Well, that's the problem is my PS3 hates the internet, so it won't connect.
You're not invited.
And now my PS3's in the other room.
Well, yeah, and in the other room, I won't even have the option that I do now to plug it directly into the modem. But because I've had so much fun playing Forza, more fun than I've ever had playing a sim racing game, it really perversely piques my interest in Gran Turismo to see whether it is the old style Gran Turismo, which to somebody like me is not inviting and is not welcoming, but is super technical and makes you get these licenses right away instead of letting you have fun. Whereas with Forza, man, you just start having fun literally from it's installed and running, you start to have a ton of fun right away.
I haven't seen or played Gran Turismo 6, and license tests are a thing of the past. I mean, they're still in the game. They were still in 5, but they're not required.
Mm.
But they're still in the game for some reason. I don't understand that exactly. But, those are a thing of the past, but I don't think you will find what you're looking for.
The droids?
It's still pretty
hardcore.
Yeah.
And I'm just not a car guy, like, you know.
No, I totally hear you. And the thing is that, you know, you will start with nothing and you'll have to grind out a couple of slower cars to move forward with
right.
it. It's amazing. I mean, you know, GT5 is what we've talked about this before, one of my favorite games of this generation.
Right.
But yeah, I don't have faith that it's suddenly going to be this like extremely user-friendly experience right off the bat. It's no Forza. That's where Forza's always shown, and that's how they've sort of differentiated themselves from Gran Turismo. So, yeah,
I'll
try first.
You know, I've set my settings now to hard on Forza,
really?
and I'm still, you know,
too
with
good,
their,
Rich.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I don't know what it is. Believe me, I have not gotten any better. If anything, I've gotten worse because I play so many games, you know, so little. As opposed to playing one or two games so much. But I'm getting lots of golds. And granted, gold's not first place. And that's probably what it is. You know what I mean? I rarely come in first with a gold. It's usually second or third, usually because, frankly, because Canadian Stewie winds up smashing me, getting me out of first or second place. But I don't know. It's just something, man, Forza, it's just super fun and not crazy difficult and not intimidating. And I've gone through two of the leagues or, you know, career paths, you know, with the eight races, you know, yeah. I've gone through a couple of those with a couple different types of cars. And usually by now I'm really starting to struggle, have a hard time, but you know, a couple, once or twice around the track, I'll be able to get a gold. It's awesome. It's just so good.
One of the smartest things they did to me was to make gold a top three finish, a podium finish, because that's one of the worst issues in racing games in general is like, well, if you don't win, you don't get to move forward. And that's ridiculous. It always has been ridiculous. Yeah. That's one of the things that I really love about it because of exactly what you're saying, Rich. Like the problem, the thing, the issue that whole win or don't advance created was, well, then I'm turning down the AI because I don't have the time personally to run the same race five times. So I don't want a challenge. I want, you know, like I want to get out in front, and that's how it would work. You get out in front on the first lap, and then you ride around by yourself for two more laps. You win the race, you move on. And with Forza, because they've changed that, I do the same thing as you. I pump the difficulty up a little bit. I don't win every time. I might win like probably 60% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I'm having so much fun with it because I'm constantly racing and I'm not just motoring around an empty track.
The online is great too. Like I had so much fun racing with you, Greg, and with Levity NYC and Cancer Cowboy. Like we had a blast. And the other thing is like in those races, I wasn't typically when I'm playing with people who play racing games regularly, I come in last every single time. And I wasn't coming in last. I was coming in second, coming in third. Like I was kind of holding my own out there, which was great. And the other thing that was great about those online races, man, when we got in those Formula One cars, good Lord, the difference when you're in a car that is, and I was going through a straightaway in Australia, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going 218 miles an hour. And it felt like you were going 218 miles an hour. It was crazy. But it was so much fun playing with you guys online. And that's where I think Forza is really doing a great job with both the single player where you're integrated playing with your friends, even though they're not your live friends, and then the multiplayer playing with your friends. It's just so far, it's a terrific package.
Yep.
Yeah, and I've been watching Rich do his streams over at twitch.tv/RichGrisham. So I'll get those plugs in for you, Rich. And I felt like, I mean, you're driving MR2 Spider? I felt like it was like... You couldn't feel the speed. Am I crazy? You just said, like, driving the F1 car, you feel like you're going really fast.
You are going really fast. You do feel that.
Yeah, man.
But just, like, going 60, 70, or into 100, you're not feeling that fast, right?
I don't know. I mean,
also, you're
when you have the control in your hand, the thing about Forza, you get a lot of feedback in the controller. And you know, like when you're going over the bumps, you know, you feel the bumps when you're squealing, making a turn, you feel that. So I feel it a lot more, but it maybe just because of the feedback I'm getting from the controller.
What view do you use, Rich?
I am not in the cockpit.
So are you doing like the hood cam or the roof cam or whatever you want to call it?
I think it must be the roof cam.
Well, that would be one of the reasons why the sensation of speed isn't quite there either. Because, I mean, the higher up you are from the road, the less, you know, it's kind of like when you're in like an airplane or something. You're going really, 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 really fast, but when you look down, it doesn't look like you're going very fast at all. You know, same idea. Like if you get into any racing game and you play like on the roof cam or the hood cam, and then you drop down to like a bumper cam where you're right over the tarmac, there's a huge difference in the sense of speed.
It's kind of why I like the roof cam probably too. It feels like I'm a little more in control than I probably am.
Well, you can see.
That does help, especially someone like me who's not that great at racing.
And Rich, you brought up the controller. How does the Xbox One controller feel for you?
When I'm playing Forza, it's awesome. The rest of the time, it feels like a cheap plastic controller. It's weird. Like when I first held it, I was like, I couldn't believe that after playing with the DualShock for a week, picking up the Xbox One controller was, it was like almost like picking up a Fisher Price toy. But then again, when I started racing with Forza, all the feedback was great. So I'm not, unlike a lot of other people, I don't get into the details of controllers very much. As long as I can just start playing the game, if I don't have to think about the controller, I'm fine. I know a lot of people are complaining about like the bumpers and stuff, but I haven't had any issues with the controller positively or negatively. Like I said, the biggest thing to me has been the awesome feedback.
Yeah, in my little time with it, I didn't like the positioning of like the right and left bumper. What about you, Greg?
I can see that's totally legit. I can see complaining about that because if you're somebody who like puts the sort of wraps their fingers up over the top of the controller, those bumpers are awfully hard to use.
Yeah.
I'm not though, so I don't have a problem with them, but I could see it being an issue for people. Otherwise, I really like the controller a lot, actually. I'm kind of like Rich. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and dissect it and figure out which is better or anything like that. It's the same thing. Like, as long as it's not a barrier to entry for me, I don't really care. My hands are comfortable. I can find all the buttons I want. I'm happy.
Why are we talking about controllers, guys? You have a Kinect. You don't need a controller anymore, right?
It's true. You are the controller.
Yeah. do they have voice controls and stuff in Forza? Or no?
System level stuff.
Or have you
stuff.
Not cared? Like, go to race?
No. Like, record that. Go home. Oh, just pause. Stuff like that.
Do you find yourself using it? I know Rich doesn't since...
I use it all the time. I use voice control for everything. So that's the thing with the UI. I find that if the system UI was controller only, and Rich might be able to speak to this, it's extremely confusing and not very easy to use, I find. Although having the B button just step back through anything that you've done is a nice touch. But man, like, I like using the voice controls because if you drill down like three or four levels into an app, and you just say, Xbox, go home, and you're right back at the beginning again. It's like pressing the gem, I guess, on the controller. But I just find the thing so easy to navigate using voice controls.
Yeah. Rich, you should take your thing out of the box and play around with it a little.
Yeah, I'm probably going to. I think it's just, with the first couple, with the weeks, the both systems coming out, within a week, I had all of this work to do for my, regular job, and then all the reviews and all the sessions for it. It's like now that that's all starting to dissipate, and after a couple more days, I'll kind of be done with all that. Maybe I will take it out and just start experimenting. I really just didn't have the desire to even try to experiment when I had five things that had to get done, and I knew I didn't need to connect for it. So we'll see.
Plus, you hook that thing up, then the NSA can see into your house again, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten a couple of phone calls like, come on, hurry up. Hurry up. Come on.
We miss you.
Because I do lead such an exciting life.
That's always the quiet ones you got to worry about.
We got a question from at Heat of Nights with a K, like those kind of nights. If you could bring one game from the 360 PS3 era to the Xbox One /PS4, what would it be? Rich Grisham.
Well, if it were right now, it's easy. It would be NHL.
Amen.
Because
it's the game holding you back.
But I mean, I think, knowing that there will be an NHL game next September, it'd be nice to be able to play like GTA 5. I did not play that much. I mean, I played 7 or 8 hours of, and, it'd be nice to play that. So that would probably be the one that I'd like to have right now. I mean, NHL is an easy no-brainer at the moment.
Yeah, and since Rich just took NHL, I'd say probably I would much rather see Gran Turismo 6 hitting the PS4 than the PS3.
I would just like, again, backwards compatibility. When everybody sort of was up in arms about it at the last generation, I was like, who cares? Come on. Like, I want backwards compatibility a lot more now than I did last time because, The Last of Us DLC and Gran Turismo 6.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to be able to.
That's just it. I mean, I can see why they wouldn't do it for exactly that. We all, like, I'm the same way. I really wish we had backwards compatibility, but a year from now, I'm not going to care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm not even, like, you know, I'm not up in arms about it, but it would just be, you know, first world problems, like, right?
Yeah.
It would just be so, you know, an additional layer of convenience.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'd be down for NCAA football, just so I'd never have to.
God, I love Since that. You're not getting that. Another one?
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's pick from the heart, I guess. what else we got here? I got another one from friend of the show, Justin Maddock. If someone doesn't have a next-gen system yet, all right, would each of you give three reasons why they should get one or the other?
All right, which one are you going to take, Greg?
Oh, my goodness. Xbox, I guess.
Okay.
So you go first.
quite
you want me to go first? All right.
Yeah.
So I'll go first. The PS4, the reason that you would get the PS4, number one, with PS Plus and the Vita, you have all of a sudden got access to this amazing way to play your games multiple ways. The PS Plus, you get two or three games for free. With the Vita, you can use it as a mini PS4 all throughout your house. So that's one. Number two, the PlayStation 4 is not about microtransacting you to death. It is simply about giving you access to a whole bunch of great games that so far play great. And number three, there's nothing other than Forza on the Xbox One that is any more compelling than the great variety of games that you have on the PS4. I mean, you've got everything on the PS4, all your bases covered, from action to sports to, you know, indie games, and you know, you're going to be in good shape on the PS4. There's going to be more to play on the PS4 of the first year of its life than you will have on the Xbox One.
All right, Greg, give us your
I can't compete with any of that. No, actually, honestly, what Rich just said, I'll expand on that a little bit, but guys, I wouldn't say there's nothing to play other than Forza. If you're talking about console exclusives and you don't care about Forza, then you don't have a reason to buy an Xbox One. But, I mean, you still have the third-party stuff. If you're more interested in the third-party stuff, it's a toss-up right now, and it really has more to do with the controller you like. I mean, there's some technical issues on the Xbox side. We've all remember resolution gate and everything and all that stuff. You still have the same issues you had before where you need a live gold account to do things like Netflix and all that sort of thing. But otherwise, the experience is pretty similar. The thing with the Xbox One, and this is not a reason to buy it, but what it has going for it is tons of potential. I think that there's probably a little bit more power to unlock in this system at some point. Not saying that it'll end up that it's more powerful than the PS4, like raw power or anything like that. But I think that the more time that developers have with it, I think we're going to see the games grow a little bit more dramatically on the One than they will on the PS4. And that's just to say because the PS4 seems like it's way easier to use right now for a developer.
The other thing is, I mean, these are both platforms that are to grow. Neither of them, like, I have them both and I love them both and I'm super happy with both of my purchases. I'm not unhappy with one and happy with the other.
Right.
But on the other hand, nobody needs either one of these things right now. There is no single experience on the consoles at launch that is so revolutionary. Yes,
right.
Forza is awesome, right? It is awesome. You know, the PlayStation 4, the sports games are fantastic. Like, I'm having more fun playing Madden right now than I have had in years because the launch version of Madden, while far from perfect, is really good and fun and mm-hmm. just more fundamentally solid than any Madden game that I've ever played. But, I mean, you're really betting on the future, right? Like, if you're getting an Xbox One, you're getting it now because you're expecting Titanfall to be spectacular.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and if you're getting a PlayStation 4 right now, you're getting it because
MLB The Show will be spectacular. That,
well, right, the MLB The Show and Infamous, right? Like, but even so, like, neither of those. Well, The Show is going to be awesome, and Titanfall could be the first game that really is a true revolutionary next generation kind of a thing. Like, yeah, FIFA is great, NBA 2K when I can play it is awesome, but it's not like you can't get those experiences on your current generation. You can.
Right.
Like Titanfall might be the first thing that you just – there's nothing even remotely similar. And I'm not even sure it's going to come out in March. I have a feeling that it'll probably get delayed. But I do have a feeling that when it comes out, it will be amazing. But, you know, unless you love video games and you really love new hardware and you really love sort of kind of being in a beta – there's no reason to get either one of these consoles, right?
Well, that's just it. And it really, if you're looking at it from a games perspective, Forza's the game. But if you're not into those games, it's not worth buying the system for. It's not going to convert you, although it seems to have converted Rich. But generally, it's not going to convert you. So if you have to have a new system, I seriously do think it's a toss-up. I think you'll be a little bit better off with a PS4 right now, but I think that there's a ton of potential in the One. But there's nothing outside of Forza. There's nothing like revolutionary on the One that you've got to buy a system for right now.
Right.
Killer.
And
instinct.
The One is $100 more. Like, you know, you got to drop another $100 to get the Xbox One, which, yeah. You know, it means a lot to some people, a little to others and absolutely nothing to others. So, you know, all these things are very local. I say this regularly, but video games are very local, like things that are important to me are completely not important to other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Vice versa. You know, like I'm for me, a big part of playing video games right now is because can my son be involved in it? You know, and he's 6, right? So yeah. It's completely different than me 10 years ago and probably will be 10 years from now. So who knows?
So there you have it. If you're buying a console this year, get a PS3.
PS3.
Get your Uncharted's in. Get your Last of Us in. That's pretty much
it. Hey, TJ, I want to ask you this. I know we're talking about Xbox One. I guess this applies to Xbox One. What's up with Battlefield? Does it work?
I mean, I have had no problems. I don't know. Apparently, a lot of people are having problems. Also, it's like impossible to invite a friend. But I played with Pete Dodd a couple nights ago. I ended up on the leaderboard almost on top of him every time.
Because all I hear people saying, they can't get in, they can't get in, they can't get in. And
I have had it crash a bunch when I try to pull up the battle log by tapping my touchpad. So that's been a problem.
You shouldn't be tapping your touchpad.
At least not while the NSA is watching.
Sure. Yeah. Not with that camera.
I don't have the camera.
Oh, okay. Go for it then. Knock yourself out.
I'm liking Battlefield. There was a minute I had a little breakdown where I almost thought about getting a Call of Duty, but no, I'm liking Battlefield. Once you get up 10 levels, you get some good guns. And
yeah, one of these nights, like once I kind of feel like their third or fourth patch in the Battlefield. And Battlefield's another one. Like I have it, I've installed it, and I literally have not started playing it because I know that at some point over the next 4 to 6 weeks, when I'm like, all right, let's play something new. It's going to be sitting there because there's going to be nothing new coming out. That's why I'm going to give TJ a call. I'm like, all right, TJ. Dude, show me what to do here in Battlefield so that I'm not just running around getting shot every 10 seconds, which is what normally happens to me in every multiplayer FPS.
That's probably going to continue to happen. I've been playing some of the...
But at least if I'm working with you, I'll have a little bit of a, you know, fighting chance as to, okay, here's the good spot on this map, or here's a couple things that you should know, or join our clan, or come be a part of this group so you can at least get some XP and level up and that kind of stuff.
I think we're going to be SGWG is going to be our clan tag. Sports gamers with guns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I played some of those 64 player map things. Those seem exciting and interesting. I got to drive a tank around a little bit. I got to crash a couple helicopters. I got to crash a couple planes.
Is that in PS4 or PC or Xbox One or what?
I think I was playing on PS4, obviously.
Okay.
But I think PS4, Xbox One both have 64. I don't know about PC. I would assume so.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think they used to have
64. PC's probably got whatever. Whatever PC has is probably double whatever the max is a console.
Yeah, I think PS3 and 360 only have 24. And apparently, according to Lethal Migraine, it's a double XP weekend this weekend. Which means maybe I can get up to level 10. Have either of you guys played, well, you know, PS4 had the amazing Resogun for free.
I'm terrible at Defender.
I'm not good at it either, but boy, it's fun.
Me and Levity NYC beat through the game.
I didn't even know. I tweeted last night. I was like, wait, there's co-op and Resogun? I didn't know
that at all either.
I put up a top 1,000 score on Veteran. I was pretty excited.
Look at you.
22.6 million.
That's ridiculous.
But, you know, that was like the cool free game to get with the PS4, though I also know you like Contrast, right, Rich?
I have not played Contrast.
Right, I dig it.
He digs it.
I don't hate it. I like it. It's ugly, but it's but I like the idea behind it. It's interesting. It's interesting enough to keep playing.
So have either of you guys played Killer Instinct? That's what I'm getting.
Yep.
At. How is that?
It is full of particles.
Much like Resogun.
The particle effects in that are just stupid. It seems fine. I've never been a Killer Instinct fan. It seems kind of fun. I don't think I'll ever spend any money on it, but I could see people getting into it.
I'm a sale away, even a 10% off sale away from buying PowerShot Golf, because I've actually heard really good things about that game, mm-hmm. and it's $20, and so
$10 would be perfect.
Yeah, if there's like a nice little Black Friday / holiday sale on that, I could see myself being talked into that, because again, there's no golf game on either console. I've heard it's fun, but I've also heard like all first party Microsoft games, it's got a whole bunch of microtransactions in there, which kind of makes me a little ugh. But
yeah, so you you've been whining a little bit, Rich Grisham.
It's true,
on the Twitter. What are you about Forza? What are you whining about? Explain well, to the peoples.
I have the feeling, and I could be wrong, but I have the feeling like I am going to miss out on things in Forza, mm-hmm. because I'm not going to spend any real money on extra stuff, and I'm not going to play it enough to earn enough credits to unlock cool stuff.
You're
going to
miss out on stuff.
And I don't like that feeling, knowing that I'm missing out on stuff when I paid $500 for a console and $60 for the game in no small part to play this game.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like I've gotten to a point where I'm like, okay, I can't get this amazing car or I can't play this amazing race because of that. I just, you know, I made the mistake of reading the NeoGAF thread.
Yeah, and I think the truth is somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
Because
the other thing is like a couple times now, even today, a couple times I got asked for money. I'm like, stop asking me for money. I'm kind of tired of that. I don't like that.
No, it's funny because it's honestly not something that they haven't done before as far as the cars go.
Right.
I don't think it's been as blatant. Like, I don't think you've seen them sitting in the roster and say, oh, but you can't use this until you pay for it type thing. Like what it used to be before is that it just wasn't on the car list, and then you bought the car pack or the single cars, and then they appeared in the roster, right? So it's really – the end result's not any different than what used to be there. It's just that now it's more blatant and in your face that it's there, and it's like, oh wow, I really want to drive that Lotus F1. Oh, I have to pay for that.
Yeah, well, what happened, like, a couple times it said, you have a new rival, right? So I go to the rivals, I hit the X button, and I go to the rivals thing. It's like, okay,
it seems like they're using the rivals exclusively to push downloadable cars.
So I go to race my rival, and I can either pay $10 or $50 to race him, because I guess I don't have the car. I'm like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems what they're using.
That's leading me down a path that is not cool.
Now, to be fair, like... Last week on the Player One podcast, I said that I didn't think that the microtransaction stuff was a big deal. As I've played more and I've started to sift through the car roster, it does look like the microtransaction stuff is a big deal, and I'm starting to think that they actually have held some of the tracks for ransom behind a paywall, because there have to be more than 13 or 14 tracks. But that being said, it's Turn 10, and one of the things Turn 10 has always done really well is community. And I don't know if you've been following this week, but they actually came out this week and said, we understand that people aren't really crazy about the economy in our game. So this weekend they're having like a 50% off sale on everything. They're also reconciling with a bunch of the people who got the VIP pack, because one of the promises apparently with the VIP or the limited edition was that you would get enough tokens that you could afford to buy any car in the game, any car you wanted in the game. That's not true. So they're going to be giving everyone who has a VIP pack any car they want from the game. So they're doing a ton of little things like that. And there are a lot of different ways to get like a revenue stream going, because I mean, you've got, your Drivatar making you money every day,
which is nice. Great.
Which
I
is
love
really
that.
Nice. Yeah.
I love that feature. Do you have to turn Forza on every day?
Have to turn it on every day to collect it. Yep.
Okay.
But it's usually around 10,000-11,000. At least I'm getting like 10,000 or 11,000 every day, so that's not bad. And then you've got the rewards at ForzaMotorsport.net or reward.ForzaMotorsport.net. The rewards program anyway. And if you've been playing the games a lot, you'll already have a fair amount of awards unlocked. And that's something else that they announced that this weekend. I think they're going to revamp that, and they're putting in a bunch of new awards that people are going to be able to unlock over the next couple days. So they've got a lot of different revenue streams going in that game. But it's still going to be it's a slow burn. And I understand people getting upset, but I really don't think it's all that different than how it used to be. I think it's just that they're being more in your face about the fact that they want you to spend money on it. Before it was more passive. Now it's very aggressive.
Yeah, and like I said, I just have the feeling like there's going to be stuff that I'm going to miss out on because I don't pay any more money. But you know,
and
there has not been
right.
a minute where there has not been a minute where I've been playing the game that I've not been enjoying playing the game. So you know, sometimes it's nice to be blissfully unaware of stuff, and it was nice to be blissfully unaware of the. Of the microtransactions embedded in the game, but they would have, you know, the first time I clicked on Rivals and the second and the third time when they asked me for money, like right there, and not a dollar, like either $10 or $50 was, you know, it would have made itself kind of apparent to me.
Yeah, you need to avoid those Rival notifications.
Yeah, yeah.
You just got to do that. The fact that there's less content in 5 than there was in 4 definitely exacerbates the problem. Like there's less content and they're asking you for money. They're reminding you they want you to spend money all the time. Like it's kind of like if it had been one or the other, it would have been a little less annoying, I think. But they're doing both. So
what is the website for the Forza Motorsport Rewards?
I think it's rewards.forzamotorsport.net.
Okay.
Cheers. Let's see. Heat of Knights in the chat asks, "What sports game would you like to see? Where? What sports game you want to see on next gen that isn't hockey?
NASCAR.
NASCAR the game. 14 inside line, outside the track.
Yeah.
They played that. They played a 13 on.
Mostly for Donovan McNabb, but.
Nope.
Rich knows what I'm talking about.
Nope, mm-hmm. Over my head. I don't live in that part of New Jersey. That's the Philadelphia area. Do I even want to know?
There was a whole thing about drivers not being athletes. That's all.
I mean, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, there's no reason to get into
it. You don't want to get into that because you're wrong. So yeah. Let's not even get into
it. Oh, well, because I was going to say that they are. So I guess I'm wrong.
Okay, you're right then.
Don't you lose like 7 pounds in a race, something like that?
Yeah, Bobby Allison, I think it was him who put it really well once, was just like, you know, pick a sport where you sit in an oven for 4 hours and yoga. Tell me that I'm not, you know. Yeah. See, there you go. Drivers aren't athletes, they're jockeys with motors. Wrong.
Oh.
Wrong.
First off, that's pretty wrong. Funny. So are jockeys athletes? Bam.
The players athletes?
Or is the horse the athlete? Oh, boom, there it is. Question of the week. Are the jockeys the athlete or is the horse the athlete?
No, I don't know what sport I would want to see that's not already covered or that isn't hockey.
Okay, UFC coming out next year, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see boxing. Like the legit boxing game.
Good boxing game would be nice, yeah.
You know me, I'm down for a cricket game. I was really excited. I was like, let me get into this. I remember playing a demo of one of the EA Sports Cricket games back in the day. And that was pretty awful. Though, word on the street is there is a Genesis game of cricket that is really good.
Really?
Yeah. So if someone, if only I knew someone that loves the Genesis and would do something. I believe it's Brian Lara Cricket on the Sega Mega Drive from 1995.
You know what? I think my most recent boss in game development was the designer on that game.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
And Greg goes to the Google.
Nice. Brian Lara Cricket, right?
Yeah, for the Mega Drive. From Apogee? No, that says apologize.
Audiogenic.
Sure.
Yeah, that's who developed it, which I believe was his mother's company. Jeremy Wellard is the guy I'm thinking of.
Sure.
I'm doing my research while we're talking about it. I don't even know what we're talking about this. You brought it up. I'm just...
I'm looking for a Generation 16 on the sports games of the Mega Drive.
Well, eventually I'll get to it.
I will. Hope so.
But it didn't come out for... What did it come out? I don't know. Anyway.
All I know is I can't find that Forza Motorsports reward site, which is ticking me off.
Ooh, he, Knight says...
I can find anything in Google in 30 seconds. I can't find this awesome site.
How about a lacrosse game? Is lacrosse a video game? Because that indie one kind of sucked.
Talking about all the sports are covered, right? So the only thing you could possibly look at is what is not covered.
CFL football.
Well, if you're on the Xbox, I know a game that's not covered.
That's true. No
triple,
baseball.
Triple play. Well, okay. Can we get into a real serious conversation right now?
Sure.
Everybody wants MVP to come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
After NBA Live 14. Do you think anybody wants MVP to come back?
That's a good point.
I feel like after that, I was like, yeah, how about you not try to make a baseball game? Just get this straightened out first.
Nothing like building a sports game from scratch, man. It's hard, especially nowadays. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, Greg Seward would know where to start because he actually makes games for a living. But my goodness, what a gargantuan effort to put in the various systems and components and art and infrastructure to put something like that together, man. I mean, the guys who made NBA Live are not a bunch of idiots, right? I mean, it just illustrates how incredibly difficult it must be to take something and bring it to life, as opposed to what the 2K guys have done, in their intro video. They're like 17 years. I mean, like, they've been working and building on this thing for 17 years. You know, that's how long it has taken them to put themselves in a position to deliver what they delivered with NBA 2K14, which is in many ways spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so oof. And that's what makes being a sports game fan so concerning. Because when NCAA college football goes away, I mean, even if the window opens at some point in the future for there to be a new entrant, having to put that together is such a huge amount of work. You know, man, it's crazy.
I wonder if they had worked on the next gen version of NCAA. I have to assume they had started something, right?
Oh, yeah, they had been working on it. They had said that they were busy working on it.
So, I mean, there's at least something there at some point. As long as it's not too far in the future, you could probably still kick back to.
I mean, at least with football, you assume, as long as they keep making Madden, they would be in a position to at least use some of the basic core, engine to revive.
And and now that all the read option stuff's in Madden, you're probably pretty much there, and it's more like a slider change by now.
I think that's one of the bigger issues with the whole death of the NCAA football game. Wasn't that basically being used as R&D for Madden? Like, didn't they float different systems in that game before you saw them in Madden? Am I wrong on that? Or
no, you're not wrong at all. I mean, they definitely would do things in that game that would make it to Madden later.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's a great – I mean, you can design all that stuff all you want, but there they had this great system where not only did they get to test it on real audiences, but it sold really well on top of that. So it was like, it was a sort of a win-win. The risk reward there was pretty high. So, and that's gone now. I'm curious what kind of effect it's going to, like, it's going to have a ripple effect on Madden, I would think.
You know, I doubt anybody there really knows. I mean, a lot of the, well, not a lot, at least some of the guys who made NCAA were let go. Some of the guys who made Madden were let go when NCAA was canceled, and they were sort of consolidated into an NFL group. Right. So, you know, how that whole process is going to go, I'm sure they're literally in the process of figuring that out right now.
Yeah. I think it's going to have far-reaching effects.
Yep.
I really do. I think that that's going to be a big deal for that company.
All right. So, Rich Grisham.
Yo.
Happy with your Xbox One purchase?
Yeah, I'm happy.
More happy in a year.
No, I'm happy with it, but I mean, you know, I'm happy with it because I love technology and I'm blessed that I have, you know, two different jobs, and I one of those jobs happens to be in the business. And
oh yeah, what do you do?
I mean, I will tell you this, I would be unhappy if I did not have it. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that it's sitting there and I can play it makes me happier than if it were not there. I would be thinking, I want to get it. I want to get it. Why don't I have it now? I'm going to go get it. Why can't I get it? So, you know, but that's me. I'm very much a guy who, growing up, loved video games, and when I was young, did not have the money to buy video games. And now that I although I would argue, looking at my last couple of credit card bills, I don't have the money to get these.
Did they have video games when you were a kid?
Like, no, stop it now.
Didn't you, if you wanted a video game, didn't you need to buy like a PDP-1 or something like that? Like something that was the whole room of your house?
He would go down to the soda shop.
Nice guy.
And then like miles and miles of like punch cards.
Used to be such a nice guy.
Walk 5 miles uphill in the snow both ways to drop a quarter in Pac-Man.
So I can see why you couldn't afford it, is what I'm getting at. Exactly. I'm trying to prove your point.
Is it ridiculous that we're in a generation where we have to buy all the consoles? Or we feel like we have to buy all the consoles?
I don't feel like I have to. I just feel like I want to.
Thirsty. You're very thirsty, is what you're saying.
Yes.
So I'm happy. I love it. And I'm barely really scratching the surface of what it can do, and I'm... the course of, you know, the holiday season, I'm going to try to have some fun with it, and you know, I'm happy, but not because of anything special or amazing that it does, just because I'm happy there's new console hardware. Like this doesn't happen very much, and it's been a really fun time the last month or so, you know, the lead up to it, and much more fun than the months before it, right? Like, my God, by the time these things finally launched, it was like, good, people can stop just talking out of their asses, not knowing anything. We can actually just start to actually play the damn thing.
Yeah, I got really sick of the lead up.
Yeah, so you know, I'm thrilled, frankly. I'm glad I have one, and even though right now it's mostly my Forza machine, that's okay. It's fun, and I like it.
Oh, you know what? Congratulations to the people in the UK buying their PS4s today. I didn't think of that.
Their own Black Friday.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, I just caught up on the chat here, and boy, Lethal Migraine does not like Sony or the PS4. Wow.
You know, I've noticed that.
PS Indie Box is a great console. So when you guys want to play Resogun, let me know, because we beat.
I honestly, not to feed into this at all, but I haven't turned on my PS4 in a week. But it has nothing to do with it being good or bad. I just. Like I say, Forza is the game for me. That's
right.
The whole reason I was looking forward to console launches, and that's what I'm playing.
So then let me ask you the question, Greg. December 6th?
My One will not be turned on as much, and my PS2 will be on constantly.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of my Wii U, too.
December 6th, yeah.
My son and I are loving the new Super Mario 3D World game.
Can I ask you something, not to derail this? Multiplayer in Mario 3D World... Just Wii remotes?
He uses the gamepad and I use the Wii remote.
But you don't need... Do you need to use the nunchuck with that, or you just use the Wii remote?
I have the nunchuck, which I use to move my guy around.
Okay.
And I presume that if I didn't have it, I could use the D-pad on the...
I need to figure that out because I got the game, but my kids are dying to play it, and I want to play multiplayer with them, but I don't have
it's nunchucks. Awesome. It is so good. I've never played Super Mario, like, multiplayer. Not never. I very little played it, and my son and I are having so much fun being the different characters, and you know, he's on the gamepad, and so I kind of let him drive, so to speak. Because with the gamepad, there's certain gamepad-specific features, like certain levels, you know, you have to use the touchpad or you have to do different things.
Right.
And, you know, as I mentioned on the show last week, like he runs for that flag and I'm like trying to keep up with him. I'm like, wait, no, look, there's a thing here. He's like, come on, let's go.
Much fun. My 4 and my 6-year-old are dying to play it. So,
oh yeah, they'll love it.
I gotta get going. I have to say my 6-year-old is so excited that she gets to play as a girl.
That's great, isn't it?
It sounds like such a silly thing, and honestly, before I had kids, I would tell you it's such a silly thing, but I can't get over how much it means to her to be able to play as a girl. That's because like we have Super Mario U, and she was so distraught that all she could play as was the brothers or Toad.
No, but it's like I say, like video gaming is all local, right? Like,
yeah.
Now knowing that I've got Super Mario, and then after that I've got Zoo Tycoon that I can play with my son, games that are fun, well made, that I can enjoy and that he can enjoy is great. Whereas, you know, before kids, I would like, you know, who cares for that stuff? And now it's just like the fact that Super Mario can be played by the two of us together and have fun and be a different experience than when you play by yourself.
Absolutely.
I love it. It's a whole new level.
Yeah.
It's the same 4 from Super Mario Brothers 2, right?
It's Peach, Luigi, Toad, and Mario.
And unlockable characters too, apparently.
Oh, can I pay for those unlockable characters? Is there like a price? I'm sorry if you hear my multiplier just got
lost. I do hear it. I think this means you're done.
No, man, I'm loving this.
Because you're
tell me more about the Wii U.
No, I'm sick. I just wanted to ask that real quick because I knew Rich had played it and I haven't had a chance to even open my copy up yet. Yeah. I had a once big day on it, Thursday. So
once you open it,
it's like a Pringles
you're
box.
You're playing it a lot, man. That thing is addictive. Like trying to, I made the mistake of letting him say, "Okay, every night before bed, you can play it for a level." And oh god, a level! I mean, the kid's just like, "Come on, one more level, please! One more level, please! One more level, please!"
Yeah,
I feel like I need to get a Wii U. Is that weird?
You should. It's a wonderful machine. There's, you know, 5 or 6 awesome games for it. And if, again, same thing, nobody needs it, you know, but you walk in eyes wide open, you understand that between, you know, the 2 Mario games and I think, Greg, you hated the Lego World.
I hated Lego City.
Yeah.
Lego City Lego Undercover. City.
But like, you know, CJ and Phil both loved it.
Yeah, which means you shouldn't buy it, but...
you know, there's a decent selection of good games. You know, the new HD remake of Zelda.
Yes.
You know, if you walk into that eyes wide open, knowing that there's 4 to 6 great first party games, and probably another 4 to 6 coming in the next 6
exactly.
months.
I mean, you know, and you've got Pikmin there too, and I think Donkey Kong's going to end up being really good. And as much as people want to scoff at the Wii, there were, you know, in over its life cycle, the Wii did have a decent selection of really good games, and you can play all those on the Wii U as well. So,
Like the Wii U much more than the Wii because of the gamepad. I love the gamepad. Like, here's a great example of why I love the gamepad. Tonight, I hopped on the treadmill and I played my Madden League game on the TV while my son sat in the office with me and played Super Mario 3D World on the gamepad. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And then after I was done, showered up, we came and we played a couple levels of co-op before we went to bed. Like, those kinds of things are just great. And it's only possible with the new generation of consoles, these 3 different systems.
See, the problem with me is I was stupid enough to have 3 kids, so I need to buy like 4 different consoles. And
one kid is much easier than that whole 3 kid thing you got going on.
Right,
and of course, we got to get TJ to have 1 so that he can start to experience some of the joy of parenthood.
Maybe. We'll see.
Because there's nothing your listeners want to hear more than you talking about playing games with your kids.
I think that's why I tune into shows that do that, so I can see what it's like. Prepare myself for a future. Yeah. Let me tell you guys.
You're just playing your game.
Let me just tell you guys. Resogun might be my game of the year. Just an FYI. You guys should definitely get it and play multiplayer with me. But yeah, any parting notes on the Xbox One? Since this was supposed to be an Xbox One centric episode and not really a Vegas vacation centric episode.
Watch Slapshot.
And Goon.
To and see Goon.
Beautiful, yes. Halifax.
Yep. In all its snowy glory.
Greg, can you tell us what you're working on? Do we know that?
No.
No? Greg Sorry. Stewart. He's working on MVP baseball.
I mean.
Be ready.
The company I work for, one of the big games that we are working on that's pretty public knowledge is Elite, which I don't think many North American gamers really know about.
That's the one that tried to come out in 2011? The basketball game that did not come? Is that,
yeah, that's it.
Is that what it is?
No.
Tell me about Elite.
It's a... I think it was Polygon. They were talking about Zoo Tycoon. Well, the company I work for made Zoo Tycoon. Frontier. Which some of the people in our office worked on. Not me in particular, though. But anyway, it's headed by a guy named David Braben, who, if you're from like the UK or Australia or something, you probably know that name. And he was one of the people who created a game called Elite back in the day. And Elite was basically not just a space shooter, but the space shooter back in the day. So you're talking like things like Wing Commander and stuff like that. Elite kind of, you know, did that first. Mm. And anyway, we did a really successful Kickstarter in the UK to make a sequel. And that's what the company is really, really focusing on right now. And it looks pretty sweet, I have to say.
You know what console that's on, by any chance?
It's PC.
PC?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
It's the Master Race.
You know. Yeah, haven't you heard?
All right, I might have to check that out. Because I love space shooters. I'm more of a side-to-side space shooter kind of guy, though.
I see that.
Little-known fact. Rich Grisham.
Yes.
What's going on in your neck of the woods? Other than Don McManab saying that race car drivers are not. Do you prefer the term race car driver or stock car driver? Though I guess technically race car driver.
Well, the discussion was around Jimmy Johnson, who is the NASCAR champion this year. I think he's like 6-time champion now. So
let me tell you something. The more important conversation is how crappy is the new point system? Let's remember when Dale Earnhardt Jr. was Dale Earnhardt Sr. was the greatest race car driver of all time. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, oh, let's change this whole point thing. And then some dude racks off like 6 in a row.
You know why they did that, right?
Because they don't know anything about how
things. There's two reasons they did that. One was actually, it's basically the Matt Kenseth rule, but he was just the latest in the guy who did it. The problem is that with the old point system,
you didn't have to win.
You'd have like 5 or 6 races at the end of the season that didn't mean anything. Mm. That was the problem. And then the what made that even worse is during those 5 or 6 races, football season started.
Oh, so nobody cared.
So the ratings just dropped into the toilet, right? So by adding the playoff system, they call it a playoff system. It's not really. But by adding the chase, they've tried to add more excitement to the last 10 races of the season, really.
And has that worked?
Some seasons it has, some seasons it hasn't. The actual new point system they have, which is a single point per position, I actually like a lot more.
So they're gonna have to change F1 or whatever, because isn't that one guy winning everything all the time and
yes,
not even trying anymore?
Sebastian Vettel is killing F1.
It was one guy for a long time, and then it was a different guy for a long time, and now it's another new guy.
Well,
it's interesting how one guy seems. Schumacher was forever.
The 90s and the 2000s, and then he retired the first time, and it kind of opened up, and now Sebastian Vettel is just sort of doing what he did.
Will he get a major motion picture after him?
I doubt it.
I mean, we like doing race car movies now, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. Best race car movie? Fast 6. Go check that out. Forget about Goon and those other movies. Fast 6 is the one you need to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Christian?
Yo.
What are you up to?
Press for a podcast, writing for Games Radar, writing for OXM, writing for AgGamer, and recently taken to spending time with all of our friend Pete Dodd on the Doddcast as well. So,
the only man dream. With a podcast named after him that he does not host.
Oh, he hosts it. I just pretend to be the host every few days.
I'm loving it.
Rich brings the family-friendly side to that.
The Doddcast has definitely gone through many many flavors in its life, and it's certainly has a different theme to it these days than it did a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's funny because Pete is just he is really analytical about a lot of things, and I really sort of enjoy sort of poking and prodding and getting some stuff out of him that I don't think he would get to necessarily if he were just doing it on its own. So, yeah, and as we, you know, have entered the, you know, now that we're going to kind of be talking about the same types of games between now and spring, it's really going to be more of that kind of stuff as well. So, and so the onslaught of everything, it's like, okay, let's spend some more time talking in depth about these things or those things. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm really liking it since you got there.
Well, thank you.
So, Rich Grisham, where can people find you on the internet? Possibly Twitter.
Twitter is Rich Grisham with the at symbol in front of it. And that's where I live on the internet. It's all kind of hovers around there because, you know, there's different sites like, you know, Games Radar and Operation Sports with the Press Row podcast. But it all sort of point to it all from my Twitter feed. So follow me there and I'll let you know everything that I got going on.
Craig Seward, are you also on the Twitter?
I am on the Twitter at Seward, which is S-E-W-A-R-T, not S-T-E-W-A-R-T. and you can hear me every week on the Player One podcast, playeronepodcast.com.
Best show on the internet.
Voted on by the internet.
There you go. Thank you.
I always it's always hard for me to remember because you have no T and Chris has an extra T.
I know. It's weird, right? That's where the extra T went. and if you're like me and you like old 16-bit video games, I implore you to check out my web series, Generation 16, which talks all about the Sega Genesis.
One of my favorite things is when Greg occasionally tweets, "Hey, my video just got like 10,000 views today. Did anyone know why?"
I seriously, like, well, it's because if I'm at work, I can't check the stats on it. I just know that the number's going up, and I'm like, who's linked me?
Something.
Yeah, somebody said something about this. I want to know. No, but anyway, Generation 16, you can find it on my YouTube channel, which is G Seward. And also on the Genesis tip, something that actually was made more public today, I've actually been able to contribute to an upcoming book called Sega Mega Drive Genesis Collected Works, which is still on Kickstarter. There's 9 days left to go on, and it's going to be a history book about the Genesis / Mega Drive.
I'm getting that. And I was
some interviews about it, and I'm really, really excited to be helping. And I really think you should go give them some money because the book's going to be awesome, and you're going to want a copy of it.
That's going to be like a nice hardcover book, like coffee table kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leather bound.
Love it.
Sweet.
So
I don't know how to read, but.
And hey, buy Zoo Tycoon.
Yes, I did. And you should too.
All right. You can also follow me on Twitter at ThatSportsGamer. What else we got here? Facebook.com/ThatSportsGamer. You can go give me a like. Oh, make sure you go to the Amazon app store on your Android device and pick up the Player One podcast app for consuming. It's reasonably priced at $1.99. It's
reasonably priced.
What else we got here? If you want to leave a comment for the show, you can do that in the under area of the blog post. I recommend you not go too much by the under area, though. The
nether regions of the blog post.
You can also send an email to feedback@thatsportsgamer.com. You can listen to the show on Stitcher and iTunes if you just downloaded this randomly. I believe you can now leave reviews on Stitcher.
Really?
So I believe if you can.
That can't be good for everybody involved.
No, definitely not.
So if you can, make sure you go to Stitcher and iTunes, rate and review this show, Player One Podcast, and the Press Row Podcast, which I have been on, I think, like the last two or three episodes.
Yeah, you were on the one that came out this week?
Yeah. Rich makes me buy games that aren't good and then talk about them.
Most professional podcast out there.
what else we got? YouTube.com/ThatSportsGamer and Twitch.tv/ThatSportsGamer. We restream That Sports Gamer show now and again.
It is fair to call this the That Sports Gamer empire, because clearly it is.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I would be an emperor?
Sure.
I'm cool with that.
You would be.
If I didn't die in WrestleGun. Rich, you give me a compliment, you throw me off my game. That's what happens. But tip in WrestleGun, be the super powerful ship all the way on the right, because then you make quick work of the bosses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I liked it. I like that.
This doesn't seem sports related at all.
Kind of. Like Ultimate Team, almost. Rich Christian, do you have anything else for the listening public?
Pardon?
Do you have anything else for the listening public?
Other than to say thank you for listening to Press Row and just thanks to everybody for being awesome. I am regularly delighted by all of the people that interact with me on Twitter through your show and through the Player One podcast and through Press Row. A lot of great people who just love to have fun out there. And by being a part of this community, it has dramatically increased the amount of fun that I have playing video games. So thanks, everybody. You're all right.
Yes, the community is the thing I am most thankful for on this beautiful Thanksgiving. Craig Stewart, what are you thankful for a month ago?
A month ago, turkey.
Yeah. Do they even have turkeys in Canada? Isn't it too cold for them?
Well, that's why we have it a month earlier. Otherwise, they're all frozen. They take forever to thaw out.
I got you.
Hey, I just want to thank you, TJ, for inviting me back on again. I love doing this show. It's fun. It's fun to hang out with you and Rich. Well,
now that you said that, you can expect more tweets and messages all the time saying, hey, come on the show.
I'm all right with that.
Sure.
Sweet.
I guess that's going to wrap it up for the show, and I will wrap it up with, don't forget to save the humans. Important.
They need I learn how to properly save the humans, I will try to save more of them.
Sure. All right, guys. Oh, I just died. All right, guys. I guess that's the sign to wrap up the show.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Thank you, TJ.
Thank you, people in the chat, for being here as well. And
It's kind of fun watching that, too, although I didn't watch it till much later, but that was kind of cool. Live interaction. I like that.
And thank you to the people that send in the tweets and the emails. I really appreciate it. This has been another episode of That Sports Gamer Show. I can't wait to talk to you guys again next week.